Your wife is not a separate person now. You're not building a life for two, husband, wife. You're not building a life for two. You're building a life for one because God has made you one flesh. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello, everyone. Well, get ready for an encouraging message today from Pastor Bill's in-depth study in the New Testament epistle of 1 Peter. Pastor is entitled today's study, Submission in Marriage, the Husband. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Okay, and when you take it and you do what he says in his word, it changes everything in your life, in the husband's life, in the wife's life, even in the children's life, everything changes when you obey the living word of God. Now, we know that we obey, for example, the laws of the land. We submit unto the human agencies, the governmental agencies that pass laws and all of that, long as they don't contradict the word of God. And we've studied that out. We've studied out about slaves and wives being submissive to their husbands, all the things. Now, this morning, we're going to leave behind the woman that we was with last Sunday who was married to a man. And during that marriage, we don't know exactly when, but during the process of marriage, she became a Christian. But her husband did not become a Christian, and we studied that all out, okay? Now, this morning, we're going to do something different. And I want you to listen to me, guys. I'm a guy too, okay? I'm a man. I'm a husband. I'm married. I know with all of my heart that this might be, this is going to be, okay, the most important sermon on marriage concerning you and your wife, I believe in the Word of God. That's how powerful verse 7 is. It is a revolutionary scripture when acted upon and when truly believed by two Christians. We're talking about two Christian wives, Christian husbands this morning. When believed, it'll revolutionize your life. It'll revolutionize your marriage if you put this one scripture into practice. Now, remember last Sunday, I made a couple of comments. I want to say them again. It says what I said last Sunday. I said, success in marriage is not finding the right person, but becoming the right person. Amen? And then I said something in a negative way, but it's very important. I said the fact that a Christian man and a Christian woman, meaning they're both saved, that is no guarantee that their marriage will succeed. There's no guarantee there unless you're obedient to the one who created you and created marriage. Amen? See, God, he knows what marriage is supposed to be, for he created marriage. Now, so it's very important that we understand that. Every Christian, listen, a Christian should never say, never, and I really mean this, should never say, well, I believe marriage should be this way or that way. Now, I'm a Christian and I believe, well, Grandpa told me it was this way, and Mama and Daddy this way. That's wonderful, and I respect what they said. However, you should not ever say, I believe like that. What you should say to yourself is this, and to anyone else, only the Bible and not any other book on the planet, only the Bible tells me what marriage is and what my wife's role is and what my role is. Amen? I do not define marriage. Husband, you, wife, you do not define what marriage is. The world does not define what marriage is. Over 70% in America, do you know that over 70% of couples, and that includes Christian couples, they live together without the benefit of marriage. Then they get married. Listen, that's not what God teaches in his word, amen? So before us is a very profound scripture about marriage, loved one. Lloyd-Jones says this. He says, it is only the Christian who truly understands marriage. You cannot understand marriage unless you are a Christian. That's a good word. Amen. So let's begin, and we're going to break down every word because every word is important in our text. It starts out like this, and we're talking about submission this morning, but men, we're talking about your submission to the wife. Ooh, that's going to blow you away, isn't it? I knew you loved it immediately. I felt it. I felt the love. Verse 7, husbands, likewise. That's where we're going to stop. What does likewise mean? We've been covering likewise all through the scriptures here with submission. So what that word does, it continues, if you will, the theme of submission, which began all the way back in chapter 2, verse 11, when we learned that we are to live a certain way before unbelievers because they are watching us. Amen? And we're to submit to that. Not only that, we learned in 2:13, we are to submit to the governing authorities. And then in 2:18, slaves are to submit. This is a command, submit to your master, whether it's he's good or harsh or whatnot. And then, of course, in chapter 3, verse 1, we learned last Sunday about wives being submissive to their husbands. Now we move to us, men, the husband, okay? So it says there in verse 7 that this is going to teach us about the husband's submission to his wife. I love to say that because it just rattles guys, you know what I mean? So don't shut me down. Don't do that because, see, Bill, I know right now you're going, I'm the head of the house. I am the head of the house. You know what I mean? I mean, you got that down, you know? Yes, you are. But where did you get that authority from? Did it come from you? Did it come from your wife? Did it come from your father? Yeah, your father in heaven. In other words, you have a delegated authority, and your husband, the men, women, you're both equal in God's eyes. You just have different functions, different roles. Amen? Very, very important. Stay in your role. That's what God created you to do. It doesn't mean that one is better than the other. They're both equal in the eyes of Almighty God. So with all of that being said, you're probably saying, hey, Bill, submission to my wife, what in the world are you talking about? Because I've never heard that taught from the pulpit at all. Well, I'm glad you asked. Hold your place and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And when you get to chapter 5, I want you to look at verse 18, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, very important scripture. It says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be ye filled, or literally soaked, be ye filled, or that word is pleru in the Greek, so it means filled, overflowing with the Spirit. Now, that's a command. That's not a suggestion. So that means you can be flooded, filled, soaked with the Spirit every day. Lord, fill me. You commanded me to be filled with the Spirit. Your commandments are always my enablements. Amen? So we could do that. So, and right there, loved one, that's where marriage really, in a way, starts. The reason I say that is because here, obedience in verse 18, in other words, a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led husband and wife, they love the Lord and so forth. Don't you think they should manifest in their marriage, verse 21? Look at verse 21 with me. I'm going to be quoting from the King James Version. It says, submitting yourselves one to another, how? In the fear of God. Now, you know that I've always taught, you've heard me say that, that is mutual submission, okay? In other words, where it's not the husband's will, it's not the wife's will, it is both of you agreeing with God's will and putting that practice into your home, into your marriage, into your life, into your walk, amen? Now, so Ephesians 5:21, and so some of you may be saying, especially online, you may be saying, well, Bill, now listen, Ephesians 5:21, you know, your study here is a little bit off because it's addressed to every believer, every believer. And what the person, if you're thinking that, then what you're really saying is, why are you in verse 21 when really you need to be in verse 22? Look at verse 22. What does it say? And it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And you know, if I know a husband, he probably says, I memorized that verse. It actually, he could say, it's my life verse. I have it in my office. I have it on the bedroom wall. I have it on the kitchen refrigerator right there. I even have it on the supper table. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, the problem with this right here is that it's not correct. And that's where everybody gets confused. See, love, listen to me now. Marriage, God's way, does not begin in verse 22. But if you're in your Bible, you'll look, it's like verse 21 is pushed way over there, and there's a whole new heading about wives and husbands now. And so it looks like that's separate. But love one, that's not true. It doesn't begin in verse 22. It begins in verse 21. And the reason I say that is because in verse 22, the word submit does not appear in the actual original Greek text. Okay? It's not there. So it would actually read, wives, well, let me read it again. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, wives, to your own husbands. As to the Lord. Doesn't the word submit's not in the original, the oldest original text. It's not there. Now, so what does that mean? It means that you're trying to make verse 22 stand all by itself, but verse 22 can't stand by itself. It needs verse 21. Does that make sense? So that word submit there, very important. It connects that from verse 21 to verse 22. So what does that mean? Well, let me back up. That word in 22, submit, was supplied by the translators. Now, that's why we get in trouble sometimes. We should have just left it the way it was. So, again, verse 21 is the beginning of the marriage right there. Husbands, wives, submitting yourselves. You're now one, okay? Submitting yourselves one to another. And you do it in the fear of the Lord. You both love the Lord. And my husband would never ask me to do anything that the word says not to do, vice versa. It's no longer the couple's will. It's both of them saying, I want one thing. I want the will of God in my marriage, in my home, and in my life because he died for me. And this is a command, not an option. Amen? Okay, so that's where we start. So husbands, it is mutual submission, not I'm a dictator, I'm a bully, you're going to do what I say no matter what. No. And you're also to submit something else, husbands. It tells us in Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love, or that word is agape in the Greek. It says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Did you know that's a command? That is a sacrificial love that says this, I love you unconditionally. And I would even give my life for your life. I would take your place. I would die in your stead. I'm going to tell you something. There is not a greater submission than to die for somebody else. Amen? To say, you live, I'm going to die. And you know what? When you think about submission, the greatest act of submission in the universe was the perfect, sinless, spotless Son of the living God submitting to the will of the Father. Amen? To go to the cross for man's greatest need, not his need, man's greatest need. He willingly went to the cross for you and me and paid for the sins of the world. He submitted to the need of mankind, and yet he was without sin. So if it says in chapter 2:21 that Jesus has left us an example that we should follow in his steps, amen? Okay, so we are to do those things. Now, look at verse 7 again. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, meaning your wife, with understanding. So let's look at that word dwell. That word dwell is an interesting word. It's deeper than I live at the same address. We both live at the same address, or we both sleep in the same bedroom, in the same bed, or we both eat at the supper table together. It's deeper than that. This word dwell literally means to live with, to be at home with, very, very deep. In other words, a life at home in relationship with your wife. And you say, well, now, Bill, you know what? I work like a dog all day long. I come home, I'm worn out. Man, I am stressed, and I certainly come home and live with my wife. Well, then what do you do, husband? I say this in love. What do you do when you get home? Well, I'm stressed. Well, how do you relieve your stress? Do you go hug your wife? Do you say, honey, you're beautiful. I need to work off this stress. I'm going to chase you around the house. Is that how you do it? No, you go over to that younger guy's. I don't know how to do it. I don't have ever done this. But you get over that. It's called something where you play those video games. I'm reducing my stress. I'm killing people. That's pretty tough. And then after you kill a bunch of people, you feel better and you go, hey, what's for dinner? That's really communicating. Yeah, oh, this side identified. Yeah, and so there you go and say, oh, great. Well, here, let me put this thing on hold because I'm playing people all over the world. I didn't know you could do that until a couple of weeks ago. Isn't that amazing? I'm not that I do that. I don't want to do that. But And then you go eat, and then, oh, I feel much better. I better go check and see what's on the sports channel. I love messing with you like that. No, is that living together? Oh, I work hard, Bill. You're a pastor. You work one day a week. What do you know? Well, do you think that your wife married you for your paycheck? My wife married me. I didn't even have a job. It's a true word. I didn't have a job, man. Listen, I read a story. Actually, it was yesterday. It really moved me. A well-known pastor actually was giving a funeral to a 40-year-old woman, a wife, who had died. And the husband, of course, was there. And as the funeral continued toward the end, the husband just, he broke down and just started weeping uncontrollably. And he told the pastor, he said unto him, he said, listen, my wife, I gave my wife everything. Everything money could buy. I gave my wife everything, but I didn't give her myself. I never gave her my attention. I never gave her my time. I didn't give her my ear. I didn't listen to. I did not do any of those things. Husbands, I want you to listen to me now. Sharing life with your wife. Life. A to B, birth to death, okay? Life. It can't be replaced. Did you know that? If you don't spend time with your wife, it goes by and it's gone. And you need to spend time with your wife. That's why you are married to her. So the word dwell there is deeper than being under the same roof. It means that you're living in a very close, loving, sensitive relationship. And that is what's called life together. You're planning together. You're praying together. You're playing together. You spend a lifetime building a life, a whole lifetime working together. Isn't that something? So the first thing that you do, and you say, well, how do you do it? Well, if I'm going to dwell with this woman forever, do you think you might want to get to know her? Because if you think you know her before you marry her, and wife, if you think you know that man that you're married before you get married, no, you didn't know he was a slob. And you didn't know that the bathroom would never be yours, men. Yeah, I mean, you know, you go in there and you go, what is all this? It's like a pharmacy with all the cosmetics and, I mean, you know, curling irons, and you go, what is that? I thought it was a torture instrument or something. I mean, think about it. You see things that you've never seen. You know, starting to pluck a little eyebrow or something right here. Oh, I don't want to be in this bathroom. No. Listen, so what do? If you're going to spend a lifetime with your wife, and that's what God wants you to do, you have to do two things. It says to dwell with your wife. There's a wonderful word. It says, with understanding. Now, that means two things. Number one, you understand what the biblical role of marriage is. You go to the Bible and you understand your role. You understand how to love your wife. And you put all those things into practice. You understand the purpose of marriage God's way. You get that into your heart. Now, you know that God created marriage. He created male and female. He created Adam and he created Eve. How did he make Eve, or build Eve, actually, in the Hebrew? He took the rib from Adam. Remember, put him to sleep, took the rib, and he built woman and brought her to Adam. And when Adam saw her, what did he do? I mean, the moment he saw her, his eyes went, oh, my gosh. Remember, he was naming animals before? And he sees his wife, he goes, whoa. You know, whoa, man, you know, but think about that for a moment. And so he goes, I mean, he's on fire when he does this. He goes, oh, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Now, what does he mean? It means that when he first saw his wife, he saw her not as someone separate from himself, but from himself, meaning one. Amen? Oh, listen, men, listen to me now. Your wife is not a separate person now. You're not building a life for two, husband, wife. You're not building a life for two. You're building a life for one because God has made you one flesh. Amen? That's important. If you don't see yourself that way, then you don't have a biblical view of marriage. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:28, so husbands ought to love their own wives. Now listen how you are to love your own wife as their own bodies. Can you believe that? In other words, do you love your body? Huh? Huh? You don't smack yourself around or anything, do you? No. You take care of your body. You love your body. You don't want it to be hurting or any of those things. So you love your, it says, is your own body's. Why? It says, he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but what does he do? He nourishes, cherishes it. Now listen carefully. Just as the Lord does the church. And then Paul, the apostle, says, for we are members, okay, of his body, Jesus' body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become what? One flesh. Not one spirit, one flesh. Do you understand? When God sees you both, he sees you as one. That's the miracle of the marriage covenant. You're not one until God pronounces you man and wife. That's whenever I do a wedding, I always tell them, like if we do the communion, I say, listen, well, I'm going to do the communion before we get married. I said, no, we're going to do the communion after you're made one. And then you guys are going to do something. You're going to take your very first steps. You've never done it before. This is brand new. You're going to take your very first steps toward the Lord's table. Amen? Think about that. Now they are walking as one together to the Lord. And that's what this means. You are one flesh, loved one. Now, that's the first thing, to dwell with your wife with understanding. The second part of it, to dwell with your wife with understanding, means this. It means that you better get to know your wife. It means you better be a student of your wife. Why? Because God tells you to. Listen, women are different. No, I say that lovingly. They're different. Everything about a woman is different, man. And it says, dwell, live in the same house all through your life, but do so with understanding. What does that mean? It means that you need to learn, truly learn, your wife's emotional makeup. What does she really like? See, before you get married and you're dating or whatever, courting, you know, you think she likes everything about you. She doesn't. And the moment she gets you that ring, it's going to be, you're going to change, boy. Do you understand? So you got to get it right. And so, listen, so the thing is, you got to start learning about her. She's smooth. She really is smooth. Amen? So you learn her likes, you learn her dislikes, and that takes communication. It takes that you talk with your wife. You talked with her before you got married, on the phone, you did everything, right? I mean, listen, when you fall in love, you talk all night on the phone. Oh, I love you. I can't, you know. Then you get married and you quit talking. Well, that's not marriage. You have to open your mouth and talk. You have to know what she likes and what she doesn't like. In other words, you should be able to come home from the office, work, whatever, college, whatever you do if you're married. Either one of you. But let's talk, we're talking about husbands. And you walk into that door and you look at her and you know immediately whether you should run or stay. You know if she's had a bad day or a good day, you know that look. Or when she doesn't look up at you, you know then there is something wrong. But that's when you go over to your wife and you say, I know something's wrong and I know you're going through something. And I see that hurt look on your face and I know what that means. And you minister to her. You love her. Amen? See, that's really being the spiritual head of your home. You see her need. She's fearfully, she's wonderfully made. Now, with all that being said, you learn those things about your wife. You know, my wife loves animals. She loves birds. She loves cats, either wild or tame. She loves them. We have bird stuff all over the backyard, and she sits and just, she's happier looking than me. But I sit with her, and I'm happy too, but I'm not. I go, oh, look at that. Is that a red-throated hummingbird? Oh, it must have come down from Wisconsin or something.
Once again, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill concludes this message on tomorrow's program. So please tune in again, won't you? And as always, we want to thank you for listening with us today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org.
or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.